Lord. We're so thankful, God, for the things that you've given us here in America, Lord. We're thankful, God, for the freedoms we have, for the houses we live in, God, for the food that we have, for all the blessings, God, that you've given to America, Lord. We're thankful for them this morning. And, God, we're thankful for the doctors, God. We're thankful, God, for the men and women, God, who's went on before us, Lord, who's tried to bring this nation, God, before you and try to do right, Lord. We're thankful for that. God, we're thankful, God, for all the preachers, Lord, that stand in the pulpits today, God, that take a stand on your word and try to do right, Lord. And we're thankful for the men and women, God, who sacrifice and study for Sunday school and love these little kids, God, that we bring into churches, Lord, and try to help them, try to be a blessing to them, Lord. We're thankful for them, God, that's come. And Lord, they've sacrificed their time and their efforts, God, just to hopefully they could make a difference in somebody else's life. We're thankful for them, God. We're thankful for the Sunday school teachers, God, that was in our lives, God, as we were growing up and taught us and did things, God, to help us, Lord, to get to know you, Lord. God, we're thankful, God, for this church. We're thankful, God, for your Bible that you've given us, Lord. We're thankful, God, for men and women who stood and showed us why we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Lord, we know, God, most of the people in here, Lord, that we already knew it was right before, God, we ever heard of the issue. But God, you've equipped us, Lord, in this day and time when people start trying to take it away from us, that we can still hold our own and know why we believe what we believe. We're thankful for those things, God. Lord, you've just been so good to us, God, all the way around. And God, a lot of times, Lord, we forget about that. And God, we go through daily lives, God. We thank each other, God, for things that we do. We thank each other, Lord, for the help that we give each other, God, and that's good. Lord, a lot of times we just forget, God, about how good you are. So we're thanking you this morning, God, for everything you've given us. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, this morning, God, that although we're here, Lord, and going to get something that's going to help our lives, we ask you, Lord, to bless us, God, and we ask you once again, Lord, to help us, Lord, to be able to use it, Lord, to serve you better. We pray, God, for the men and women, God, that's out in the field today, God, the missionaries, Lord. We pray for them. We pray for Alan and Tracy, Lord. We pray for Brother Andy, Lord, and Joy. And God, we just pray, Lord, for all the missionaries, God, that's on deputation, Lord, that's traveling all over the country, Lord, going through these snowstorms, Lord, and trying to get to places, God. We pray for them, Lord. We pray, God, that you'd bless them. Lord, we pray, God, for the families of the church, Lord, that you'd help them, God, to become stronger, closer-knit families, God. I pray, Lord, that they'd grow around your word, and Lord, that we would get closer to you, God, through all these times, Lord. And Lord, we do pray, God. We pray, God, for America, Lord. We pray for the country. Lord, we pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. We pray, God, you'd have mercy on us, God, as we go down the wrong road. God, we pray, Lord, for the leaders this morning, God. Lord, that they'd turn their heads, Lord, and turn them back to you, God, and get some sense back to them, Lord, and start realizing, God, that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Lord, we pray, God, that they'd get their common sense back. I pray, God, for the leaders of this country, Lord, that they would try to do right. They'd try to turn people back to God. And Lord, we pray this morning, God, for Trinity Baptist Church, Lord. We pray for the radio broadcast. We pray for the other broadcast that this ministry supports, God. I pray for Brother Gary Boyce's broadcast on Sunday nights, Lord. Thank you for his faithfulness, God. Lord, we do pray, God, this morning, Lord, that as we sit here, God, and we think about Jesus Christ, we think about the things, God, that you've done for us, Lord, that it would spark something inside of us, God, that it would have a fire shut up in our bones, as Jeremiah said, Lord, that would get us excited about doing the things we used to do, God, and that we would be more serious, God, about serving you, Lord. We're thankful, God, for everything you've done for us, Lord. And God, we do pray for the Sunday school messages this morning, God, down there in the building. We pray, God, for Sunday school and the adult class here. I pray, God, for all the people, God, that's traveling back and forth to church this morning, God, that you'll keep them safe. And again, Lord, we do pray, God, for our pastor who's in Alabama. Lord, I pray, God, you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit as he stands to preach your word, God. And I pray, God, you'd give him a safe trip back, Lord. Get him back, God, and fill him with your Holy Spirit, God. And we are thankful, God, for him and for what he does for our church. And God, I pray again, Lord, for everything that's said and done this week, God, that anything that's good, God, we'll give you glory and praise, God, that you deserve. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, if you kids want to go on down to the Sunday school hour, go down to the other building. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter. get 1 Peter, if you will. We've started going through 1 Peter. While you're turning 1 Peter, I'm trying to look something up here that I forgot to write down. I know I've got a reference here wrote down. Let's see. If I had it memorized, I wouldn't have to worry about it, would I? All right, 1 Peter, chapter 1. And we began last time I taught, we began going through the book of 1 Peter. And the book of 1 Peter, we'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And so I think last time we got down through the first three verses there, we hit a little bit on the elect there. We talked about the blood of Jesus Christ. We talked about the mercy of God and the things that He's done for us. And it'll get us down into verse 4. And in verse 4, the Bible says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And start reading here in verse 20. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible says, Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And in verse 23 it says, And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, flip back over to 1 Peter. Go back over to 1 Peter. And we'll read that again in verse 4. It says, To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, here's the thing, what you want to realize here. And I know everybody here at Trinity Baptist Church this morning, you realize that we are, once you get saved, you're saved forever. And the good works that you do has got to do with what kind of inheritance that you're going to get when you get to heaven. And you hear it a lot here. We preach it a lot here. And it's the truth. But just for the sake of the radio this morning, what you need to realize here in 1 Peter is he makes this promise. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then over in Colossians chapter 3, he said, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, he said, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, what's going to happen is one of these days we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. Get 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now the question comes up, which is this right here. Can you lose your salvation? And people talk about that all the time. They deal with it all the time. I deal with it at work all the time. And the fact is this right here. If you can lose your salvation, there's nobody going to be saved. Nobody's going to be saved if you can lose your salvation. There's nobody that lives perfect life. And so what people have to do is they have to come up with a list of these sins that they have in their head that are... Some of them, they're going to say, okay, this is the list. I think God will let you by with lying, and He might let you by with stealing if you're trying to steal for your family. But now, buddy, if it comes to adultery or if it comes to killing somebody, then you've lost your salvation. You've got to get resaved. And that's the way people handle that situation. They come up with certain sins because they realize that they're probably a liar, and they realize they've probably stole something in their life, and they don't want to think, you know, maybe I've lost my salvation and want to get saved again. I had a boss that I worked with one time, and talked to him all the time. He'd talk about losing your salvation and things like that. And we were talking one day, and I asked him. I said, okay, so you believe you can lose your salvation? He said, yeah. I said, well, how do you lose your salvation? He said, if you sin, you lose your salvation. And I said, how long have you been saved? And he said, since June 3 years ago, or something like that. And I said, so in the last 3 years, you've never sinned one time. And he said, no, I haven't. And I mean, you know, you just want to sit there. I mean, somebody like that, you can't tell them. You can't show them anything, you know. You want to say, listen, you don't even know what sin is. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And you want to start telling him about these things about sin, you know. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But if the more you give him, the more he sits there and says, yeah, I've done every bit of it. So they've either got to lie to themselves and say they've never sinned and then not read the Bible, because when you read the Bible, you're going to find out for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so you got to realize either God's going to keep you or you're in some trouble. There's got to be something for you there. And what happens is in the Bible, there are verses in here that talk about losing your salvation. And there's no doubt about that. And you have to rightly divide the word. But the biggest thing that a person's got to realize is that there is two things that you're working toward. And one of them is getting to heaven. I mean, not working toward it. I'm just saying you want to get to heaven. When somebody starts telling you about the Bible and tells you there's a heaven and there's a hell, in your head you ought to be thinking, if you've got any sense at all, I need to get to heaven. That's the first thing that you need, is you need to get to heaven. And then once that happens, then you start dealing with... you start finding out, you know what, I have an inheritance that I can gain in heaven. And a lot of the verses in the Bible that deal with inheritance, people get mixed up with salvation, and they think because you can lose your inheritance, you can lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. And over there in 1 Peter, he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. You're not going to mess it up, you know, as far as salvation goes, but this inheritance that you've got, as long as you're doing right and you're living right, this thing's going to be there for you when you get to heaven. Now, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And hold your place in 1 Corinthians 3, and we'll come back there. Get 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." So Paul, when he was dying, these are the things that he was saying. And he said, because of these things, in verse 8 he says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, there's a crown, the crown of righteousness you can get. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Obviously, if there's some rewards here that you can get, some crowns that you can get, the Bible would have something to say about them. And there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he shows you the crown of righteousness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 22. He says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." What's he talking about? He's talking about winning a prize. And he's saying you need to live your life like somebody that's running a race that's trying to gain something. In verse 25, he says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." So Paul's saying, look, they're getting something that's going to fade away. All those trophies you got when you was growing up, you probably don't have any idea where they're at today. And all these trophies that people get, they die, they go on. These trophies, they're nothing. They'll crumble, they'll fall apart. They're not any good. And he says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. An incorruptible crown you can gain at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 26, he says this, "Because of that, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And so what he's talking about there is this incorruptible crown. And he's saying, I'm going to run this race that I've got here on the earth, and the thing that I'm trying to do is I'm trying to keep in sight that I've got a crown that I'm trying to win. And Paul said, you know what? He says, there's nothing wrong with that. And a lot of times when you're trying to get somebody to do something, what they'll say today, they'll say, dangle that little carrot out in front of them. And I guess that sounds like a bad way to put something, but that's what God said. And the thing with God's carrots is He's not going to pull it away from you once you get there. I've learned here in this earth, when people dangle a carrot out in front of you, they keep it just far enough away from you to keep you reaching and trying to get to it. And the closer you get, the more they pull it away. But God ain't that way. God said they do it to get a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And if we could get our mind on, look, there's some crowns that we can achieve. The same way we're diligent about this life, about working hard, trying to make something here in this life, and trying to, you know, take care of our kids and trying to live our life the way we should. If we could get that mindset toward the judgment seat of Christ, and I've never been there, but I wish I was. You read these books about these people that they've looked toward those trials that they're going through, and they know that they're going to get a crown for it. And man, they're on it, and they're steadfast, and they're focused. But if a person could get to that point to where everything they think about, boy, is being able to get those crowns just so they can be a blessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these crowns here, he's talking about in 1 Peter. He said you've got an inheritance. Look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thessalonians chapter 2. That one there in 1 Corinthians 9 deals with keeping your body under subjection, being temperate. 1 Thessalonians. Get 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 17. He says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" So he's asking the question, what's our crown of rejoicing? And then he says, "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and our joy." So what's his crown of rejoicing? He said those people there that he led to the Lord. So when you sit here and you begin leading people to the Lord, and you know what you get for that? You get a crown. And those people, Paul said, he said, "You people, you're my joy." And there's people out there, when you see them, I mean, they're either lost or they're saved. There's people out there in your life that you've led to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are crowns for you. Those are things that God looks at and he says, "You know what? I think so much of that right there that I'm going to give you a crown for that." So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, you've got a crown for just keeping your body temperate and doing the things you're supposed to do, running your race the way you're supposed to run it. Over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, by you looking forward to Jesus Christ, just loving His appearing, just thinking about, "I can't wait to get out of here," God's going to give you a crown for that just because you're waiting to see Him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And then here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, "You know what? I'm going to give you a crown if you lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ." Have you ever led anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, if we get that on our mind and think about that, not only are we going to keep somebody out of hell, which would be a great thing, God's even going to give you a crown for it. And it could be family members, and you just don't never know what's going to change, what you're going to change by leading one person to the Lord. You just never know what's going to happen. And I remember Brother Donovan, when I was in school down there, he got talking about this Marine that started witnessing to him. And he said, here's this Marine witnessing to me. He said, I hated his guts. He said, I was a Roman Catholic. He said, I thought this guy was a jerk. He said, he was telling me I was going to hell and nothing I did was good enough. He said, when I was a kid, he said, I was an altar boy in the Catholic Church. He said, my job was at our house. We had a statue of Mary out in the front yard. My job was to keep that statue up, not let anything happen to it. Make sure all the weeds pulled out of the little garden around it. Make sure she's cleaned off. If the snow gets on her, go out there and clean her off. You say, why? He said, because we worship that statue. He said, they were telling me that statue wasn't any good. He said, they were telling me my religion wasn't any good. He said, I hated that Marine. He said, for 6 months, he witnessed to me, talked to me. He said, I hated his guts. And he said, then all of a sudden, the Lord began to deal with me about some things. He said, he finally got me to read my Bible. He finally got me to start questioning some things and looking at some things. He said, and as I began to look at them, he said, I started noticing, hey, things just ain't the way they were telling me they were. And he said, as I sat there, the Lord began to deal with me, opened my eyes. He said, and I got saved. And he said, do you realize what one man witnessing to me, how the difference it changed in my life? He said, I'm Italian. He said, for generation after generation after generation, we were drunk Catholics, drunk Catholic, drunk Catholic, drunk Catholic, all the way down to me, drunk Catholic. He said, I remember one night, he said, I hated my dad. I didn't want to be like my dad. He said, I snuck in the house one night. I was drunk. He said, and I was trying for nobody to see me. He said, and I walked in the house. He said, and I looked in my mom and dad's bedroom to see if they were awake. He said, and I began to back into the bathroom. He said, and I tripped over something and fell down. He said, you know what it was? He said, it was my dad. He was drunk and passed out. And he said, that's what they saved me from. He said, it changed. He said, it changed the whole circle of the rest of my descendants. He said, all my kids are saved. Got 4 kids that saved. He's got a daughter right now that married a boy down there that's looking at going to be on a mission field. He said, look at what a change. Just one person leading somebody. From there on, all the way down, it's just going to be different. After all that endless genealogies of a drunk Catholic, dying and going to hell, dying and going to hell. He said, I sat there and begged my grandma to get saved on her deathbed, and she wouldn't get saved. She sat there holding on to those rosary beads as she died and went into hell, saying, Holy Mother Mary of God, Holy Mother Mary of God, Holy Mother Mary of God, blessed be the fruit of the womb. And he sat there, and she said she prayed those stupid prayers all the way into hell. And he sat there telling you about it, crying, telling you about it. And we sit here, and we think, oh, you know, crown of rejoicing. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know who that Marine is. But you've got a whole generation of people that's changed because one Marine decided, I'm going to tell you the truth, and I don't care if it makes you mad, and I don't care if you punch me in the face, and I don't care if you stay mad at me. And you know what it's like when you've witnessed to people and they get mad at you, you get frustrated because you think, I'm just trying to help them. And that Marine, he stuck with it. And you say, boy, that's something, all those generations, not just those generations. He's down there teaching men every year. There's a graduating class of 30 or 40 people. And I'm telling you something, if you sit through a missions class with Brother Donovan and you don't get called to mission field, you ain't been called to the mission field, because I know there's half them guys in there decide they're going just because of how good he teaches missions and puts a burden on you. And they find out later, wait a second, I was just caught up in it. Brother Donovan, he's sitting there, boy, people getting called to be preachers under him, people called to the mission field under him. He would love to go to the mission field today to lead people to Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, but God's got me down here in the armpit of America, Pensacola, having to teach young men and put up with these young men down here. But you say, what happened? Some Marine decided to just witness because God told him to. And you know what God says? He says, all these things that we do down here, they're corruptible. Everything we fight for, everything we look for, the whole rat race we're in, the things we're doing, the arguments we get in, the points we try to prove, all this stuff, boy, just means nothing. I mean, it means nothing. Not only is it going to mean nothing when you die, it don't mean nothing from a month from now. You think about what you was mad about a month ago, or what you was arguing about, or the point you was trying to prove to somebody, and how they never did get it. They never did understand it. They're trying to get you to prove a point to you. It don't mean nothing now. Who cares? I think about Stephen was in football, and junior high football probably 3 or 4 months ago, and the games that's going on, and I'm all into those games, and frustrated over this ref or that ref or what's going on, and it don't even matter now. It don't even matter no more. And boy, at that point, I thought it was the biggest thing in the world. Do you know how many, I was sitting there in junior pro basketball yesterday watching that basketball and seeing people get tore up over the refs, and normally I'm right there in the middle of it,
But for some reason, I'm sitting there and watching it, and I'm thinking, just think of all the different people that have went through junior pro basketball over the last 25 years. All the losers were mad at the refs. All the parents thought the other kids were getting to play more, and it's no different. We're just like a bunch of cattle. It's just a different people, and it's the same thing going on, and it means nothing. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, what is wrong with us? We get so caught up in that stuff. And then we sit here and we start talking about you can win some crowns for God, and everybody's sitting here going, and I mean, I'll do the same thing. Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. And we're talking about the creator of the universe. What's wrong with this? We're nuts. We've got everything backwards. The thing that don't even matter, we get tore up about, we're passionate about, and the things that we should be passionate about, we're not. I don't know what's wrong with us. I mean, it's just the way we are. I mean, we're just humans, and that's what we go through, and it's good to listen to these things about these crowns. It helps us. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, what people do is they call this a pastor's crown is what they call it. And verse 1, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. "And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Verse 2, he says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now, obviously, that's a pastor there, and God's dealing with him about why he's in the ministry and what he's doing, about being an example, and he can receive a crown. But look in verse 5, it says this. It says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." And to me, when it says likewise there, it's tying in the fact of submitting to a pastor just as far as the pastor goes. And I believe that God's going to be giving some people that submit, and they're not in there causing a bunch of problems in church. They're living the life the way they're supposed to live it. They're trusting God, that God's got the man in there for them. I believe that they're going to get a crown there too. And now look at James chapter 1, at this last one here. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says this. James 1:12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." But what you want to see there in verse 12 is that when you go through temptations and you endure temptations, you're going to get a crown for that when you get to heaven. And you think about the things that's so hard in this life to do. Temptation. It's hard to endure temptation. There's some temptations out there that bother you that absolutely I have no problem with. I mean, I'm not a hunter. I mean, I don't like to hunt. Not into hunting. I've never got into hunting. I've hunted two or three times. I went hunting one time, fell asleep. I mean, I'm just not a hunter. And I don't even get tempted to miss some things for God to go hunt. But now when it comes to sports, we know Dilbert's making fun of the Super Bowl the other night, and he's sitting there saying, you know, Super Bowl ain't no big deal, you know, I ain't going to keep you all night long. I'm sitting here thinking, man, why'd he say that for? He always preaches long when he says that. Now, that thing right there, I like the Super Bowl. I like all of it, man. I like the pageantry of it. I like the people screaming. You say, you're a nut. I say, I know. I am a nut. What in the world? I mean, look at all that. 44 Super Bowls, man. I'm sitting there watching that thing. I feel like those guys know me. I feel like Drew Brees knows me. Dewar's like Brother Peyton. I said, Brother Peyton ain't saved. Drew Brees is saved. I said, the Saints, they're the Saints. They need to win. And I'm saying, I feel like those guys know me. I don't know. It's crazy. Those are temptations that get us, buddy. And you know what that is? When God says, when you go through these temptations and you endure a temptation like that, you know what I didn't have to worry about last week? Somebody holding a gun to my head and going to kill me for this Bible right here.
I don't think I'm ever going to have to deal with that temptation. I know it's getting bad in America, but honestly, in my lifetime, I don't think I'm going to have to deal with that. If I do, it's going to be bad because I don't handle temptation very good. But I know this, there's some temptations that you go through in life that you're going to get some crowns for just because you told your body no. You said, look, that's enough. I'm not doing it. I'm going to do right. And God likes it when you do right just because of Him. So over there, go back to 1 Peter. You're in James. Flip over to 1 Peter chapter 4, or chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Why? Here's what he says. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So you can earn an inheritance in heaven. You can earn inheritance in heaven. Now look in verse 5 what he says. "Who are kept by the power of God." See, in verse 4 he talks about your inheritance. In verse 5 he says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So he shows this difference there between your inheritance and salvation. And the one thing you want to notice in verse 5 about salvation is who you're kept by. You ain't kept by you. You are not kept by you. It's not up to you to keep your salvation. It's not up to you to get you to heaven. It's up to God. He says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, you know what? Look over at John chapter 10. I've had arguments with people about losing your salvation, and they'll go to this verse over here in John chapter 10. And they don't realize what they sound like. Now, in John chapter 10, in verse 27. And they'll argue with you about losing your salvation. And they'll bring you over here to John chapter 10. Look at John chapter 10, verse 27. The Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And so what you do is you go to this verse and you show them this. And they go to verse... verse to show them this, and what they say about this verse is, well, nobody can pluck you out of God's hand, but you can pluck yourself out of God's hand. You ever heard them say that? Yeah, oh, you can pluck yourself out. Does that make any sense? Listen to what this says. It says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That means themselves too. They're any man. Now he says, "My Father, which gave them me..." This is why they can't pluck them out of His hand. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And for them to say, "I can pluck myself out of God's hand," they're saying they're greater than God. They don't have more power than God. You're kept by the power of God. You can't lose your salvation. You didn't have nothing for you. God gave you salvation. He died for you. It's about Him keeping you. It ain't about anybody else keeping you. And so your salvation, you're kept by the power of God. Now look over at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It's based on Jesus Christ. It's based on His love for you. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. "For God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You know what your salvation is based on? It's based on the love of God. God loved us enough to die for us. And He's going to keep us, and it's about Him keeping us. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. He says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, it goes down here talking about the love of Christ, talking about him dying for us. He's the one that judges. He's the one that justifies. And he says in verse 38, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. He loved us. He loved us and died for us, and it's up to Him whether we go to heaven or not. He's the justifier. He's the judge. He's the one that condemns us. He's the one that says you're either going or you ain't. You ain't got anything to do with us. Once you're saved, you're saved. Look over in Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91. I'll show you how good this is. You know, sometimes we don't think about it. And we forget about how good God is. Ain't it good to just sit there and listen to how good He loves us? Reading through there, listening to God talk. In Psalm chapter 91. In Psalm chapter 91. Verse 14, 15, and 16. Let me read this to you. But I'm going to read it to you different. Listen to this. Because Brian Armstrong has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver Brian Armstrong. I will set Brian Armstrong on high, because Brian Armstrong hath known my name. Brian Armstrong shall call upon me, and I will answer Brian Armstrong. I will be with Brian Armstrong in trouble. I will deliver Brian Armstrong and honor Brian Armstrong. With long life will I satisfy Brian Armstrong and show Brian Armstrong my salvation. That's good, ain't it, Brother Brian? Hey, you, every one of you put your name in there. That's good stuff, buddy. When you sit here and you go through this world and you see all this junk that's going on and all the mess that America's getting into right now, the world it's into, the hurricanes and the earthquakes and the tsunamis and all this other junk that's going on, boy, and we think everything's crashing down on us, and we start hearing about the love of Christ, how we're sealed into the day of redemption, and we get over there in Psalm and we start reading something like that, and we can put our name into that thing right there. Woo, that ought to make you feel good this morning. God is good to us, buddy. God is good to us. And you know what? One day we're all going to go the way of all the earth. We're all going to die. Everybody's going to die. We're all going to die. And when we do, we're either going to face eternity with Jesus Christ or we're going to face eternity in hell wishing that there was something we could do to get to heaven. That's what that rich man in Luke chapter 16, he lifted up his eyes in torment. And that's where it's going to go. And over there in verse 5 in 1 Peter, it says that we are kept by the power of God. In Ephesians 4:30, it says we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now let me show you. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Show you this difference between reigning with this inheritance and salvation again. Just to drive it home just a little bit more. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember up in verse 1, Paul says, Thou therefore, my son, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And he goes down through here and he begins to talk about striving and being crowned. And look down in verse 9. He says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. And it's talking about suffering and reigning right there. It says, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And so you see there in verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, and that's talking about right now, if you deny the Lord, if you get out here and you say, look, I'm going to quit living for God. I'm going to quit doing the things that I thought was right. I'm sick of trying to live for God. It's a rough life. You know what? That's your prerogative. It's a free country. You do whatever you want to do. You want to live the way you want to live, you do all you want to do, and you live like that.
But you know what's going to happen? If you deny Him, He's going to deny you. He's going to deny you what? There in verse 12, to reign with Him. He's going to deny you to reign with Him. But in verse 13, look what He says. If we believe not, you know what you can do? If you're saved right now and you decide you're going to become a Muslim, shave your head and go strap a bomb on you and try to blow somebody up and say, I don't believe God anymore. What does He say? If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. So when it comes to salvation, you want to pretend like you're not saved no more. It's like that old preacher said, I can swing out over hell on a rotten grapevine and not be scared one bit about going to hell. You know why? Because he believes the book. And God's going to tell you, listen, you know there's a difference between an inheritance and there's a difference between and a difference with salvation. And what you need to do is you need to make sure that that you're saved. But when you're saved, you need to remember you've got to abide in Jesus Christ. According to John chapter 15, if you abide in the vine, then you're acting as a servant. All right, turn back over to 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter. We're going to tell you what, we won't start in verse 6. We'll go ahead and just finish up there. It's already 15 till, so we'll go ahead and finish right there. But just suffice it to say this, that Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you, and He saved you. And because of that, you owe Jesus Christ. And, you know, there's a lot of good things that's going to happen if you serve Jesus Christ. You're going to get a lot of good things. But even if you didn't get anything, you ought to treat Him as good as you treat your boss. You ought to give Him as much honor as you give your boss. And the things that He wants you to do and how He wants you to live for Him, for what He's done for us, we owe Him. We owe Him. And we ought to do it whether we got anything, we ought to do it. But God's so good to us that not only did He love us and die for us, He's going to give us crowns. He's going to give us an inheritance. And it's not going to be something that we look back that just said, ah, you know what? I got in a big old hoodoo over this thing and it wasn't nothing. Man, it's going to be something that one of these days when you get it, I'm telling you, man, we are going to be so glad that we stayed the course. All right, let's take a break.